Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner here with Anna Walsh, City Paper Managing Editor, Eats and Drinks Editor at the City Paper. Anna, it seems like so long.
I was just thinking that. I haven't talked to you in forever. It's been so sad.
Good to have you here again.
Yeah, it's great to be back on the show.
So here we have the issues that coming out today, and there's a lot in this issue. And where do we begin? I love the theme of this, which is night shift.
Yeah, so for a really long time, our photo editor, Joe Giordano, has wanted to do some photo essays where he's following people who work on the night shift because, you know, your whole schedule is just so different when you're working that shift. So we sent him out with a couple of reporters to profile some people who do just that. So we have a nurse who works the night shift at Shock Trauma. We have a profile of a few people who work the night shift at Domino Sugar, down by the harbor. And Edward Erickson, our staff writer, went to the City Watch Center and sat with the people who man those cameras.
The night shift, the light, the night shift. Right, the City Watcher, right.
Yeah. And what's the last one that we have? We also had a writer, and Joe went with a bay pilot who, has his whole job is just helping really large ships navigate through and out of the Chesapeake Bay.
At night.
At night. So he pretty much spends his nights just waiting for these ships that are, you know, delivering or gathering cargo to require his services.
You got night shift at Sugar Mountain, the night shift at Domino Sugar, and you don't, that's one of the last places around that actually hires human beings to work.
In a factory,
right?
When a reporter went, it was right before the holiday season, and there's a number they packaged 3.9 million pounds of granulated sugar and 242,000 pounds of brown sugar in a day. So we still got a lot of sugary output from our factory there. So it's a pretty interesting series.
And the night shift also Shock Trauma, which was a really interesting piece. That's very powerful.
And talking about, you know, what the nurses there see, what the difference is between the day shift and the night shift, and how to deal with the flow of the hospital and whatnot.
I like that. Interesting piece.
Yeah.
Sounds like we can go back to that old rock and roll song about the night shift. I like it. All right.
Yeah.
So you also have Sandra Bland's sister, Sharon Cooper.
Yeah.
Who's coming to town. She actually will be interviewing her Thursday and will be on the show on Friday. We'll be hearing her voice here. Yeah. As well. But talk a bit about her and this article.
Yeah. So she's coming to Red Emma's to give a talk on Saturday. Yeah. This Saturday, I believe. And
Saturday, yes. Right.
Okay. and so Brandon Soderbergh got the chance to have a Q&A with her, and so they talk about her sister's activism, Sandra Bland, who, unfortunately died while after being arrested and being held in police custody in Texas from a traffic stop. And so she talks about her sister's activism and her own personal background that led her to sort of take up this activist mantle after her sister's passing. And she talks a lot about growing up in the church and how that really taught her about service and serving the community and being in the community and how that's really shaped and informed a lot of what she's doing today and what she's trying to accomplish by talking to people about what happened to her sister trying to push for change beyond even just police brutality.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to meeting her and having her here. I understand she's very powerful in terms of what she has to say. So I'm glad you covered that. And you also covered the death of somebody. We had a program about him, an entire show about it, the death of the life of Sidney Mintz.
Yeah.
He was an amazing guy. He just was such a tragic way he died. He was 94 and fell and hit his head and died, but he was in great shape, minds, faculty, bodies. Yeah, but you did a nice piece on him.
Yeah, it's a piece from a writer who sort of, and it, you know, what you're saying about him having a great personality and a great mind is sort of, it's really reflected in this piece. It was just a sort of a chance encounter that the writer had with him, where she was working as a barista at the cafeteria where he was one day, and she talks about how when he learned that she had studied anthropology, he, you know, treated her as a fellow anthropologist and expressed a lot of interest in her life and gave her some sort of intellectual guidance. She talks about how that's really a testament to his character and what kind of person he was compared to, you know, even just a lot of other academics who might be revolutionary in their work, but maybe not in their day-to-day treatment of people or their practices or whatnot.
And so. He was an amazing human being.
Yeah,
I was really, there are a few people in this world I look up to like as heroes, very few, and he was one of them.
Yeah.
He was an amazing human being, good-hearted.
Yeah, definitely a loss.
And you have the Lewis Museum Wootstar Rose Prints, which have you seen that exhibit yet?
Yeah, actually I have. I walked through it back in December. It's really interesting.
It's amazing. Really interesting story, yeah.
Yeah, Brett McCabe reviewed it for us, and he talks, you know, a lot about the racial demographics, particularly of, like, the Eastern Shore, where, so for context for people who haven't been to the exhibit, Rustar Rose was a white woman who lived on the Eastern Shore, and she did all of these portraits of African-American people in her community and also did prints and sketches that represented African-American spirituals. And so they were, like, really heavy with symbolism. They're really interesting. And her portraits of people are just very humanizing, very respectful. And Brett sort of talks about how that in itself is pretty remarkable for the time period that we're talking about here. She lived 1887 to 1965. So, and the Eastern Shore had really terrible race relations. So even the fact that, like, the African-American communities, like, trusted her enough to portray them is in itself sort of a testament to her approach.
Ain't much better now. So
yeah. Well, yeah.
Anna Walsh, it's always a joy to talk to you. City Paper Managing Editor, Eats and Drinks Editor. We'll talk next week, if not before.
Yes, definitely.
And look forward to the City Paper. Just pop it out everywhere in the city. It's all over the town. Just grab it and read it. A lot of good stuff in this issue. We didn't get to the food, but we will next time.
Oh, definitely.
Anna, thanks so much.
Yeah, you too.
All right.
Bye.
So I'm going to thank you all for listening today here to the Mark Steiner Show, which is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. Our interns are Sienna Greaves, Manifa Wilson, and Calvin Perry. And welcome to Morgan Barber, our new intern. Good to have her here with us. Welcome, Morgan. And our theme music by Wal Matthews with Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. The podcast of Mark Steiner Show. Share it with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA. 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.